Good morning. Would you all please pray with me? Oh God, we ask that your Holy Spirit, who lives with us in every moment, would help us respond to the Word of God rightly. As children of the living God, that our words and our actions, our decisions, our very lives, Lord, would reflect your Word and your truth, which is alive in us today and every day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's reading, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. So if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation, and everything old has passed away. New things have come into being. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And they was entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, God, who made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
All right, good morning, everyone. We still have almost a month and a half until fall actually starts, but it feels like we're kind of entering this transition time as kids go back to school, and even if you don't have kids, it kind of looks like we're entering the last part of the year ahead. Now, as you know, among a number of things I get to do here at Knox, one of my roles, and really one of my favorite roles, is youth director. And as a youth director, I've always thought it's kind of weird that we don't play games on Sunday morning in service. Games are like one of the core tenets of youth ministry, along with Jesus and pizza. So, if you'll indulge me, I want to start off this morning by playing a quick game with the whole church. And introverts, don't worry, I'm not going to put you on the spot. There's no dodgeballs involved. You won't even need to leave your seats for this game. Here's how the game works. I am going to read you a statistic that's not quite true. If you think the number should actually be higher, you're just going to raise your hand, okay? If you think the number is lower, you can keep your hands down. You don't have to do anything, okay? Make sense? Raise your hand if you think the number should actually be higher. Number one, 30% of Americans have never left the country. Is that higher or lower? Okay, that is actually higher. It is 40%. Yeah. Number two, in 2021, the average American read 14 books over the course of the year. Is that higher or lower? I don't see many hands. Okay, it is lower, but it's actually 12.6, which is still higher than I expected. Just for fun, for you personally, raise your hand if you think you read more than 13 books a year. Okay, you are the ones who are driving that number up for the rest of the country. Okay, number three, 65% of Americans think there is intelligent life and civilizations on other planets. Is that higher or lower? Yeah, it's actually lower, but it's 57%, which is still more than half. All right, now here's a big one. Number four, 40% of millennial Christians, these are Christians born between like 1984 and 1998, currently in their 20s and 30s, say it is wrong to evangelize. Higher or lower? Okay. It is higher. According to a Barna study, 47% of millennial Christians say they somewhat agree or strongly agree that it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in hopes that they will one day share the same faith. Gen Z, the next generation of teenagers and young adults, are largely the same. Now, I don't bring this up to shame anyone or point the finger at a generation. I myself am a millennial. This is my generation I'm talking about. I actually bring this up because I have a feeling there are a number of us in this very room, regardless of age or generation, who would at the very least agree that the idea of evangelism makes us uncomfortable. So the question is, why? I think there's all sorts of connotations and images that spring to mind when we think of evangelism today. We might think of televangelists promising God's blessings in return for the money that we send to their pockets. Or we might think of people standing on the street corners with bullhorns and signs yelling about judgment. For some of us, older generations especially, we might actually have positive images of Billy Graham or revivals where lives were really changed. But for others of us, we might sense a mean-spiritedness around evangelism, or at least a combative arrogance of, I know more than you, and I'm going to change your mind whether you like it or not. Maybe some of us are just afraid of doing more harm than good. By telling others about Jesus, am I going to offend them or push them away or come on too strong or just weird them out? And other times, I feel like there are at least two, surely more, versions of Christianity in America that can be so much work to navigate and differentiate that, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'm this type of Christian, not that type. And yes, I actually do believe that, but no, I think that stuff is crazy. As someone who works for the church, I got to tell you, one of my least favorite things is when the friendly cashiers at Trader Joe's ask me what I do for a living. There are times I feel like the air just gets sucked out of the room, and I can tell they're making all these immediate assumptions about me, and I just want to take my overpriced eggs and leave. I was getting coffee with a former student the other day, and they told me, the first question I always get when people find out I'm a Christian is, do you think I'm going to hell for being gay? Just heartbreaking to consider that's the first and biggest thing that people assume about Christians. But also, it makes sense. People want to know, if you're a Christian, where do I stand with you? Have you already judged me in some way? All this to say, there are so many reasons that go into our discomfort with evangelism. And in our current culture, the very idea of evangelism is becoming more and more avoided by more and more Christians. And yet, that same Barna study about millennial Christians found that at the same time, 65% of millennials believe being a witness about Jesus is part of their faith. And 68% strongly agree that the best thing that could ever happen to someone is for them to come to know Jesus. If you ask generations older than millennials, that number jumps up to 82%. So many of us know this is important and believe our faith really does matter. But if we're being honest, it's a hard thing to talk about. It's a hard thing to share. We don't know what to share, and many of us aren't even sure that we should share. Which brings us to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which we just heard. I love the phrase that Paul uses here. He says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are official representatives of a foreign country, or in this case, a foreign kingdom. We're not from here. He's saying that we are peacemakers, we are diplomats, functioning with an authority greater than our own. The honor and reputation of our country are in our hands, for better or worse. And if that feels like lofty expectations to live up to, if you're feeling uniquely unqualified, unworthy, or unprepared for that kind of responsibility, keep in mind Paul was writing this to a Corinthian church that had messed up time and time again. The whole first letter to the Corinthians is all about how badly they were misrepresenting Christ. They were divided in every way, suing each other, arguing about which spiritual gifts were the greatest. They're failing to share in the Lord's Supper. Their sexuality was out of control. 1 Corinthians calls them out. And there may have been a second letter between 1 and 2 Corinthians that was even more harsh, saying, you are getting it wrong. But still, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul calls them ambassadors for Christ. God is making his appeal through us, he says. We may not know what we're doing, we may not know how to do it, but if you follow Christ, congratulations, you are now sworn in as an ambassador. I actually think the image of being an ambassador is a good one for what evangelism should look like. I mean, Paul could have written, you are generals for Christ. You are soldiers in God's army. And too often, I think the church has taken on a militaristic stance towards those they view as outside. When we see our faith as a battle, it's natural to see enemies everywhere. But this is a different way of looking at the world. We are peacemakers. We are diplomats. We are representatives of the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. We're not here to conquer or convince or make this a Christian nation. We have no interest in the culture war. We are here to declare the war is already won. The battle over sin and death is over, and Christ has won it. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says, God reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we're ambassadors to. We are ambassadors to the message of reconciliation. You know, all those terrible things you might have heard or believed about God, that God is angry, that God is rejecting you for your sin, that God is callous and cold, letting evil happen when he could stop it. It's not true. That is not what God is like. This is what God is like. God is like Jesus. And that is the greatest news in the history of the world. Through Jesus, God is showing us his character. Through Jesus, God is reaching out to us wherever we might be, however far we may have strayed away, however hopeless we might feel. Bringing us home. We are reconciled with him. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. What a glorious, terrifying responsibility. But this has always been God's way. From the very beginning, from Adam to Abraham to Moses, to the disciples, to the early church, God has always chosen to partner with humanity, to give us a role in what he's doing. Let's not take that lightly. I've had my own reservations and anxieties about evangelism, which I've shared a little about. But you know, I think a big shift happened in me when I stopped thinking of sharing the good news as convincing people to believe what I believe, and started thinking about it instead as being willing to share my story, my experience. I mean, Jesus changed my life. Jesus continues to change my life. Jesus gave me a purpose, an inner peace. Jesus truly changed the way I looked at others, taught me to love for no reason at all except that they are human beings created in the image of God. Jesus taught me to love myself. Jesus has been with me in the lowest of low times, and he has never left. I believe Jesus can change the world because he has changed me. And that is good news worth sharing. People won't always be receptive to being told what to believe, and I understand that. But I've found that people are often receptive to hearing the stories of others. It's hard to argue or be offended by someone else's experience. Throughout the Gospels, we see this again and again. The way Jesus touched people's lives, and immediately they went out and shared about it. The demon-possessed man is healed and goes away to tell the whole town how much Jesus has done for him. The Samaritan woman tells her whole town, he told me everything I ever did. Mary sees Jesus after the resurrection and runs to go tell the disciples about it. There's this story of a blind man who's healed, and when the Pharisees question him about it, accusing Jesus of being a sinner, the blind man says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, and now I see. We are ambassadors announcing these stories of what God has done for us. You may have heard my family's good news. I announced during Joys and Concerns a few weeks ago that Lynette and I are expecting our second child in December, a little boy. And the funny thing is, though, some of you already knew about the pregnancy weeks, maybe months earlier, and it's not because I told you. When Lynette found out that she was pregnant, she had taken a pregnancy test in the other room. I was down in the kitchen with my daughter, Addie, who was helping me make dinner. And Lynette was so shocked and overjoyed, she came straight downstairs and held up the test in front of both of us. There was no discussion or conversation with Lynette and I about when or how we should tell Addie. And so when Addie saw it and realized what that test meant, she burst into tears of joy because she had been asking for a baby sibling for so long. I actually have a prayer that she wrote to God months earlier. She put it under her pillow, like expecting some divine tooth fairy to come. And it's hard to read because she wrote it in highlighter. But it says, trust me, it says, "Dear Jesus, I want a baby brother or baby sister." Addie was so thrilled about the news. And we had to tell her, "This is really exciting. God answered our prayers, but let's not tell anyone yet, okay? Let's go to the doctor first and make sure the baby's healthy, and then we'll decide when to start telling everyone." That was a Friday night. By Sunday morning, within 60 seconds of coming to church, Addie had already told J.T. Scarborough and Natalie Hoffman. I think she may have announced it during her Sunday school class. And soon we had parents coming up to us and quietly congratulating us. I think some of you honestly knew before my parents did. But can you imagine a better picture of what it looks like to have good news to share? It's not done in combativeness or coercion. It's not done out of some sense of obligation. When the news is this good, it just bursts forth. "Look at what Jesus has done for me. This is who God is." In Ephesians 6, Paul again talks about being an ambassador, saying, "Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." Paul was in prison at the time, literally in chains, and yet he still considered himself an ambassador. Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he had a new job now. Church, I'm here to tell you today, there is no such thing as a professional Christian. You may not be employed by a church like me or Matt or Ashley or Juan, but you are an ambassador for Christ all the same, and we need you. As this new school year begins, and students go back to school, and many of us return to regular rhythms of work, we need ambassadors who practice medicine. We need ambassadors who fix cars. We need ambassadors who teach math class. And yes, we need ambassadors who go to math class. We need ambassadors who work for the city, and ambassadors who study science, and ambassadors who make art, and ambassadors who raise kids, and ambassadors who live in retirement communities. God has chosen us as his partners in the work of reconciliation with the whole world. You have a new job now. And your job entails representing Christ with your actions. Absolutely, we need more of that. But it also entails sharing Christ with your words, with your stories, with your experience. No one can tell your story but you. And I know some of our stories are filled with ups and downs and hardships and questions. But I'll tell you what, those stories are still worth sharing because Christ is still at work in you, reconciling you and your story to himself. I pray that as you look ahead to the fall, whatever this next semester or quarter or season is going to look like for you, you wouldn't be bored with the monotony of what you're doing. You wouldn't be distracted by your to-do lists and responsibilities. Rather, you would see this exciting opportunity ahead to let the good news burst forth wherever you go. Let's pray together as the band comes up to lead us. Lord God, we thank you for the work of reconciliation that you have done and all that you're doing in us and in our church and in our world. God, give us the boldness not to keep it to ourselves. May you speak through us with grace and empathy, teaching us to listen well and giving us wisdom as we share our stories of all that you've done. Amen.